Hello and welcome to the Good Vibes Film Club, the audio show that's like a book club but with films, except not this week. Instead, from your usual show, we interrupt the schedule to bring you the Captain Marvel special. Yes, we're doing this probably about a month after its release.
Bit
but,
late.
We realise that the Avengers Endgame is right around the corner and we need to be prepared. But don't worry, we will continue with West Side Story and Space Jam as planned for next week slash next episode. Mm-hmm. That sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yep. My name is Adam Denby and I'm joined every week by my better half, the lovely, the enchanting, the cosmic,
ooh,
Sarah Warner.
What does cosmic mean? Hello.
Oh, it's in line with the theme of the film.
And your Twitter handle.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's why you're the number two on this show. Okay, so since the film is much newer than the classics we usually do, we're going to keep the first half spoiler free.
Yep,
and then we'll give people a warning and then they can switch off and if they don't want to hear spoilers. But if they do, then you can listen to the next part of the show. And obviously, if you've already watched the film, then you probably want to hear about those spoiler bits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So we're going to deep dive. We're going to do some in-depth analysis.
Mm-hmm.
No, just kidding. We're going to talk about it generally, and anything that's entertaining, we'll try and stick with that.
Sounds good? Sounds good.
How are you?
I'm all right.
How was your trip to the cinema?
It's all right.
Yeah.
It was, like you say, even though we're a bit late seeing it, it was a lot fuller than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things. Like people have said to me, you know, I watched it last night, it was good when it first came out.
Mm.
It didn't really say anything more than that. Mm. And I was like, yeah, I heard it's good. But I kind of expected that cinema to be, like, we'd be one of five in there.
And I've never been. I've never been in it.
I did go on like a afternoon on a Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
I guess it's when people bring their kids and things.
There were a lot of children.
There were. I mean, think when we grew up. Think of the superhero films we had.
Imagine we
just,
didn't.
You just. I know. That's what I'm saying. Oh. Imagine being born now, where you just have that.
Yeah.
Like, it's taken us like what? Like 15 years and like 19 films to get to that one. And they're just waking up and being born and watching Captain Marvel.
Yeah. So I guess the first ones we started having were like, I became sort of aware of were like the X-Men films and stuff. And I remember when Spider-Man, the first like Tobey Maguire one came out of the cinema and it was 12, but I couldn't see it because I wasn't 12 yet. And that, I think that's when they introduced the 12A.
Was it a 12?
Yeah, because I, for some reason, even though I'd never shown any interest in comic books, for some reason I really wanted to see Spider-Man. I don't know why. And then it was a 12 and I was really irritated.
You know what? I mean, well, just PG warning for people thinking of taking their kids to this one. There were like quite a few words in it that are not really appropriate for children.
Like what?
Like bastards and ass and all this kind of...
I think you can say the F word in a 12 now, though.
I know, but some of these, like kids were like... The ones near us were like 8, weren't they?
Maybe younger.
I think younger. Know. That's what I mean. So you're like 6 years old and you're seeing all this. I'm not a parent, but imagine. Well, I know that I didn't get exposed to that kind of stuff when I was that age and I turned out okay. I'm not saying everyone in that cinema screwed up.
I'm sure they'll be fine.
I know. But then also it kind of troubled me that they, you know, for us, that is the plot in this film is filling in bits of a cinematic universe that has like...
Mm.
The last 20 years of in the making.
20 years?
Well, let's say 15. Nearly 20 films.
The first one came out in 2008.
Yeah.
So 11 years.
11 years, that's nearly 15.
Nearly 20.
If you round down from 20.
Just round up 11 to 20.
I mean, I can't imagine that five-year-old going like, oh, I really want to see, how Nick Fury gets his eyes.
Spoiler.
That we all know that he doesn't have an eye.
I know, but we didn't know it was going to happen in that film.
Okay.
Oh my
God. I think that's like a lightweight spoiler. That's not like a...
We haven't said how it happened. We'll get into that.
Okay, so would you want to, before we transition, anything else you want to say? We're going to jump into the spoiler-free section now.
Yeah, I thought we were like already doing it. Yeah, I'm ready.
You ready?
Yep.
Let's go. So, my first bullet point is who is Captain Marvel? Because I think I knew the character. I dabble in Marvel comics. I'm more into like indie comics and lesser known ones. But I kind of familiar with Captain Marvel. But when, I mean, if you haven't seen Avengers Infinity War, obviously don't listen to this bit. But there's a post credits part of the film that involves her. Actually, to be fair, it doesn't. I mean, if you haven't connected those dots, then you're
well,
fine.
At that point, I think when we saw Infinity War, we knew that Captain Marvel was coming out this year. So I think everyone saw that and were like, oh, that's about Captain Marvel.
I think that's why you have to look at these films as like individual chapters in a big, long story.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I know, but when you get, you might get a review of one of these films and people slate it for the wrong reasons. Like, okay, maybe a film should stand up on its own, but sometimes it's like, it's looking at this larger series of events and films and post-credit scenes. And...
yeah, I think the film on its own, though, does stand on its own. I don't think, if you haven't watched Infinity War, I think you would get it. Like, it stands on its own, but it's those it's those end credit bits that make reference to, like, the other films and the overall kind of arc.
I mean, and it is a good film on its own. I'll say that right at the top of the show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So you can't... What I got from the end of Infinity War, that like Captain Marvel is a pretty big deal. Like, it almost kind of makes out that this is like humanity's last hope.
I know, but things were pretty bad in Avengers Assemble. No one bothered calling her then. There was a portal coming out of the sky.
But the thing
and
is,
like, aliens coming to kill everybody.
They were getting loads of superheroes on Earth, though, weren't they? They're all powerful.
I guess at that point, Nick's like, oh, half of us are dead.
And the thing is, it's like, it's Captain Marvel as well. Like, the name, you think, okay, if Marvel's coming in.
It's Marvel.
Which kind of makes up the entire of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost feel like this person's like as big as the universe, but I don't know that much about her until now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read out like a little short snippet. It's like a small paragraph, but it kind of sums up, I think, the character, where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
So Marvel's first Captain Marvel series, featuring the hero alien Mar-Vell, created in 1968, was published primarily to establish Marvel's trademark on the phrase Captain Marvel. Okay, the trademark soon became equally desired by DC Comics for their own recently acquired Captain Marvel. You might know him by another name, Shazam. Mm. And there is a film called Shazam out at the moment, and that's because they didn't get that trademark.
Yeah.
There's DC character.
Why do they
called...
like the name Marvel so much? Because it's like Marvelous? They're a Marvel?
I don't know.
And it's just a good superhero name? So Batman's good. They have Batman. That's a good name.
So I've got a second paragraph. It says, when Carol Danvers found her groove as Captain Marvel, Danvers, in 2012, she was the sixth character to use the name. And it's ironic it took her that long since she'd been created as a supporting character for Marvel's first Captain Marvel comic. So this iteration of Captain Marvel with Brie Larson that we have just seen, like, you're going to correct me then, did I say a name wrong?
No.
Okay. Is the most recent one, but it's not like where it comes
from. There've been other
from.
Captain Marvels.
Yeah.
Carol's like the sixth.
So like this idea in superhero comics is like you sort of play that persona. Mm-hmm. So like there are lots of Robins, for example, in Batman. There are lots of Green Lanterns. There are lots of, you get the idea. It like generally it's like, oh, Bruce Banner is the Hulk. I mean, there's probably some spin-offs where it's not, or different alternate universes where it's not, but generally it's like, I mean, we've seen it before, like you know, Captain America in the comics, like it's a different one now, or like it's like taking up that mask. It's like, I can't
think
of
like Spider-Man's not always Peter Parker, is it?
Is it not?
No.
Yeah, but
sometimes it's, what's his name, Miles.
I suppose it's different in that instance, because sometimes there are different Spider-Men, mans. There are different Spider-Mans. Like this is almost like passing on the torch type thing.
Okay. Right? Whereas the Spider-Men, it's like parallel universes.
Like with Robin, yeah, like that one.
Okay.
But like, because it's comics, they can sometimes go, we're going to set up a new universe and we're going to do a Spider-Man here and it's a girl. It's Gwen, for example. then what quite often happens is like, oh, it's really exciting if we maybe bring those comics together. And then it just messes with everyone's head. But like, unless you're following all that stuff, it probably makes very little sense. Yeah?
Fair enough. Yeah, anyway, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. So she's not the first Captain Marvel. That's kind of what I was trying to get out.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yep.
So
understood.
And it is good. I think, having a... Like, we didn't have that many kind of superhero women growing up.
No.
So coming in, again, those five-year-olds just growing up, like, oh, superhero. This one's a woman. That one's a man. This one's an alien. Like, it doesn't matter.
Nope.
Or a raccoon.
Yeah, there's a raccoon.
Or a cat.
Yeah. And there is a squirrel girl, right?
In what comic?
Oh, was it a joke?
Probably is. There is. I wouldn't fixate on it for now.
Squirrel girl.
Put your phone away. Stop Googling squirrel girl. You might find some weird stuff.
Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen that one. Just drop it. Put it down. Get your notes back up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so that's just a backstory on Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who she is. So, and her general powers are... Is it a spoiler to say what the powers are? Because if you haven't seen the film...
You see it in the trailer. I don't know, in the trailer you see her like flying and like shooting beams out of her hands and stuff. And she just looks sort of strong and badass.
I mean, yeah, and she can sort of fly through space and doesn't need oxygen and...
Well, she has that cool mask and has like the mohawk. I love the mohawk. That's like my favourite thing.
It's just... really?
No, I just like it.
I dislike mohawks in general.
But on a space suit,
yeah.
I just thought it was cool. It just wasn't expected. And then I saw it in the trailer and I was like, cool, she's got a mohawk.
Right.
Like, generally, like, I don't know, this sounds weird. Like, I wouldn't be attracted to someone with a mohawk or...
You like the idea?
Yeah, I just thought it was cool in the context.
It looks a bit like those, you know, the Roman kind of...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
What was I saying? Her powers, right?
Yeah.
So she's kind of just like... This is weird, like, you know, Fury at the end of Avengers contacts her to be like, she's the only hope, but... You know, Thor is like a god, basically.
I think.
Or a god's son.
Yeah.
And they're in a universe like where...
Out of her and Thor, I don't know, they're kind of even-ish.
Yeah?
Yeah, or she's maybe like just below Thor.
Like
her and Thor are like, whoa.
And this is coming from a film perspective, so they're probably shouting out right now going, well, in issue 54...
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Just imagine you've gone to see this film.
I just mean compared to like Hawkeye, who is cool and everything, but he fires arrows. He ain't flying around with beams coming out of his hands.
Nick Fury, let's call Hawkeye.
Get some arrows on the job. He's in the trailer, isn't he, for Endgame, so he's there.
Yeah.
And he's certainly useful and, you know... Great guy, I'm sure.
I think he's about as useful as, like, someone with a gun. Actually,
well,
that's useful.
That's Black Widow. She's good at, like, infiltrating and stuff, isn't she? And very good at fighting, but then she shoots guns.
Playing mind games.
Does she?
Well, when she's, like, held captive and she, like, gets them to kill each other and stuff.
Yeah. So she, you know, everyone has their special skills, but in terms of kind of, like, yeah, just sheer power... Yeah, Captain Marvel's, like, she's pretty high up there, on Thor level.
In a lot of ways, I kind of feel like she is Marvel's, like, Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, Superman doesn't... probably does lots of things in different comics, but he generally, in a film universe, just sort of, he's just really strong and flies. She's got sort of, like, projectile stuff as well.
Mm.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, there's a bit of a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Like... If you were to give a synopsis, if you were to read on the first line of in a sentence, like what would you say the film's about? So without giving away anything, any of the plot, just kind of...
Mm. Well, it's about what do they call her? Viz.
Viz. Viz. Continue.
So you see her and she's part of like the Kree race who are these... They live on this planet and they're sort of these, they seem kind of these like cool, like elite warriors.
Like Power Rangers.
Yeah, sure. So she's like them, but I think she gets captured by the enemy, the Skrull. And I think they start kind of looking
at... No, that's not what you'd see on the back of the box.
No, but she starts from that. She starts thinking, having a feeling, because basically she arrived with the Kree 6 years prior with no memory of her life. So she sort of then starts getting an inkling of who she was before.
Right, I think that's enough. Okay, I feel like that wouldn't even be on the back of the box.
Mm. Well, yeah, and it's sort of about her trying to figure out who she is.
I'm trying to be careful of spoilers and that, because it's really hard to especially this film. I feel like the first half an hour is like loads of information, isn't it? It's really difficult. You know, usually sometimes opening the films, like an action sequence happens, but it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the film. And that tone is usually like what you see on the synopsis or what you felt from the trailer.
Mm.
But it's tricky. The things that I've kind of discussed, general themes, and we're actually going to go into themes this time.
Okay.
Is I put 90s.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, I mean, not too much in your face, but there's a general, the music, you know.
Yeah,
the,
I really like some Nirvana of the music.
The grungy, No Doubt and things, mm-hmm. and the Blockbuster videos. Mm-hmm. Like that guy, you know, the guy who stayed to watch the post-credit scene and was laughing at everything. Every time he saw something from the 90s, he was talking to his kids going, "Blockbuster, we had that. That's how you got videos."
He was really loud.
He was. He was shouting over the film, and he had a good projectile voice too. he was very good at doing it. But there was one scene where she was on the in a phone box, and on the top of the phone box was just a Game Boy.
What?
And I was like, well,
that wouldn't be.
Weirdly, it was the Game Boy and the box that the Game Boy came in, just stashed on top of a phone box. So there were some little bits where you felt like it, like the 90s were being shoved in your
and
face.
Carol hadn't put it there.
Who?
Viz.
She had. Why would she have a Game Boy?
Maybe. No. She did some wires out of it to make the phone work. I don't know.
Oh, well, let's pretend that's why.
I don't know why she would need it from a Game Boy.
Who's leaving Game Boys around in phone? That would have been your most expensive gadget.
Yeah.
So there's lots of references like Blockbusters and the music that you mentioned, mm-hmm. but just generally clothes and fashion,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. Quite cool.
Mm-hmm. I loved all the bits with not really spoilers, but going on the internet and there's a bit where they put a disc in a computer and Nick Fury's just sat there waiting and she's like, "What's it doing?" And he's like, "Oh, it's loading because it's just taking ages." And it's on this old, I don't know which operate, one of an old Windows.
It's Windows 95.
Yeah, something. It's funny.
I felt like the setup was the joke for me. When she says, "What's it doing?" I kind of laughed because I thought that was a joke. And then when Nick Fury responded, everyone laughed in the cinema. I was like, but I knew.
Yeah, well, I knew he was going to say that.
I guess. So I always thought it was weird. Well, not weird, but it's kind of nice and a little bit sad that 90s is now a nostalgic era to set stuff in.
Obviously, you're old.
I mean, we would have been very young kids.
Yeah,
but
I do remember the 90s, but probably, when I was sort of in my teenage years, that was more the noughties.
It's just interesting that a lot of films 10, 20 years ago, you'd have that 80s or 70s. Mm. I feel like if they did a new Austin Powers, he travels in the 90s or something. That's
far away in the past.
And there's a couple of Netflix shows where they're based on the 90s. It's just quite nice because there is a lot in that time period that can represent it.
Mm.
And then the internet happened and everything just got mashed into one.
Yeah.
You're not. I was joking.
No, you mean though.
My next bullet point.
Yep.
I've just put Nick Fury.
Because
you're watching that film,
and you can't tell they've done anything to Samuel L. Jackson's face.
You just forget.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's not even he's walking in a particular angle, and they've gone that's where we can sort of apply the special effects.
Mm.
He's doing all. He's jumping up and down. He's ducking all kinds of stuff, and he always looks. He looks young. I think in 10 years' time, every actor will just be played by Samuel L. Jackson. And they'll just
But you can do... No, you can do that to any... Basically, anyone can play a younger version of themselves now.
He's got quite an easy face, though, hasn't he?
Why?
He's just round, and he's got...
He's got a round face.
Nice features. Some people are, you know.
He's aged very well. I guess other people it might be harder work to make them look young. Like, he looks a lot younger than he is anyway.
I just thought it's sometimes, like, did they just give him some fake hair and apply loads of makeup for a lot of it? Because that would have been so difficult. Or do you think he's done the entire thing with, like, little mocap things all over his face?
I don't know. That's probably something we should have checked before recording.
No, because it'll be that kind of stuff only comes out on the Blu-rays and DVDs. That's when stories.
I bet I could find out.
Well, yeah, but we don't want to. We want to save that for when we actually buy the.
Whatever they did,
it was good.
It was really good. It just looked like a slightly younger Samuel L. Jackson, because he's not like baby face. Like, he's still like.
I think it's
meant
well,
to be in his like 40s or something.
Like, you can't do it with a lot of people, but you can do it for him because you got so much footage of him playing himself at that age. So it's really easy.
You think that's how they do it?
What, take footage? No, I just mean to base it off. And people will go like, oh, he's 20 years younger because I remember watching him in a film 20 years ago and that's how he looked.
Okay.
You know, but sometimes you have to take a new actor who's in the first film and you go, we need a bit where he's 20 years younger. Then you're almost like guessing. I mean, yeah, you can model it off pictures of him. But for the audience to believe it, they're going to believe it better because they know what he actually looked like.
I get what you mean.
You got a bit more reference. Mm. No one will like consciously think this. I think it's just... It's subconscious.
Yeah.
Origin story. So I put what I liked about it was it's been quite a while in especially Marvel films where we've had a real origin story. You think about the last like Avengers films and Civil War and like, you know, we're on like Ragnarok, which is the third film, obviously. Like, I know we've had. What was the last one? Was it maybe Black Panther?
Black Panther, yeah.
Which we haven't seen.
We still haven't
seen. Full disclosure, I think there are three out of the like 20 films that we haven't seen. One is Black Panther.
Ant-Man and the Wasp,
quite recent.
And that was like last summer. Thor the Dark World?
And Thor the Dark World.
I don't think I ever bothered with.
We just keep putting it off because everyone tells us it's bad. But one day we will do
it. Yeah, we've got to complete the set, right?
Maybe before Endgame comes out, we'll watch.
That's soon,
we'll
though.
Watch all of them.
That's soon.
I know. Realistically, probably not going to happen. No, but maybe we should watch the ones that we haven't seen.
Yeah, Dark World go at the bottom of the pile because that came out ages ago. That's like at the bottom of the pile.
At the bottom?
Out of those three, yeah.
And so for an origin story, not only, I guess, was it good because... No, I'm not saying it's because there was a gap to have an origin story. I just mean, like, we've come a long way from... You take, I don't know, the very first Daredevil with Ben Affleck or Batman Begins or something where it's like 75% of the film is them becoming that character.
Mm.
And like, it's quite painful. Like that Batman where he's like goes and trains with ninjas and stuff.
I've only seen it once. Everyone says it's actually really good. I saw it once.
Maybe
and it was so
yeah,
bored.
Me too. Maybe.
So, but I probably was like 12 or something, so I should probably rewatch it.
My point is, no one wants to see... Like, people go to the cinema usually because they want to see that character.
Yeah, you do want to see them as Captain Marvel. Yeah. You want to get to that point.
And I think Spider-Man, the Homecoming, the kind of MCU, did a really good job in that. Introduced him in another film to start off with, Civil War. And then when it actually got to him, it was almost just like a handheld fast cut video of him like how he got there.
Yeah, and also especially with Spider-Man films, we've seen it several times before,
like multiple. Oh yeah, can you imagine them doing another one with Tom Holland just being like, oh, I'm in school and now I'm going through puberty and now I've got webs coming out on me.
Yeah, like we've seen it, we know how it happens.
So I thought this was, and I'm trying not to spoil it, but the origin story format was quite good because it's almost like she's looking herself for the origin story because within the kind of first 5-10 minutes, she says that she doesn't have memories of like basically how she got there or who she is kind of thing.
Yep.
So while there's still lots of fun stuff happening, she's trying to discover like what it is that made her.
Mm.
And that's kind of like a side part of the... Oh, that's like a part of the story. It's not just there because we have to show how she became this character. And that would have made a really bad film. It's just been like start to finish.
Yeah.
So kind of cool that scene where they there's basically how can I say this without I'll say it to the spoilers.
Okay.
Just remind me about the origin bit.
Okay.
I put Brie Larson. It's just like generally just thought she was really good.
Yeah, I thought all the performances are really good, to be honest.
Yeah.
There was good acting all around.
Is she a good role model for young women?
Oh, I like her. I think she's fab. I mean, what else have I seen her in? I've seen her in Scott Pilgrim.
You're really good in that.
Yeah, I've seen her in...
Seen her in The League.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, about that.
Like a babysitter.
And saw, is it Room or The Room? Not The Room. Room.
Yeah.
So that was a really good film. Mm. Quite a sad film, but really good. And she was excellent. Well, she won an Oscar.
That's your critical analysis. Sad, yeah. But good. I like that film.
It was sad in the beginning, but quite uplifting by the end. I recommend it. Go watch it. It's good.
I just thought she's really, really good. I think this, like, tonally, this is a bit different from some of the more recent Marvel films. Like, it felt more like a Phase 1 type film. Because it didn't have all that comedy, but it did have some.
It had some, but it wasn't like Ragnarok, where I was just, like, belly laughing.
Yeah.
I want to watch that again.
That was good.
Like, this is such a funny film.
Or, like, Guardians, for example.
Yeah, like, they're a lot funnier. And this did have its moments. Like, I did smile, I did chuckle, but I know what you mean.
There's like a bit, it's not really a spoiler, it's where like one of the bad guys are running at her going like, ah, and she sort of runs at him and goes like, ah, like imitating him.
Yeah.
And it's just...
She's got personality. Like,
yeah.
She's not...
I think she'd be great in like a Joss Whedon film. Like, I think it's her... The character that she does in that, she does look like...
Yeah.
Funny moments.
She's like focused, she's determined, but then she's all right, I think, having, yeah, like a bit of a laugh and a bit of a joke about herself. She's got a sense of humour. But she's serious. But I think she's seen as like in her like little group of Kree, like Jude Law's like her boss and that little group, she's like the troublemaker.
Jude Law?
Yeah.
Who's
the guy that
the man.
The man.
English man.
The Englishman.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. It was like two syllables. It was like Blum Blum.
Blum Blum? You just call him Blum Blum.
It's not. Oh, it's like. I'm going to look at.
Just while we look at Blum Blum's actual name. Well, Sarah right. Navigates through her.
Let me go back to where I had Squirrel Girl. So I don't need to know about Squirrel Girl.
We've covered Squirrel Girl. Yeah. Let's move on to Blom.
Yon-Rogg.
What was his name?
Yon-Rogg.
I prefer Blom Blom.
You see, I wasn't far off, though. Yon-Rogg.
Yes, anyone with two syllables.
Yon-Rogg.
That was like Yon-Grogg.
One thing that confused me, so...
Is this spoilery?
No. So you've got the Kree and the Skrulls. Skrull. Now they kept saying, like, Skrull, Skrull. And I thought they were saying, like, Squirrel.
Yeah,
because I was watching.
It's like I feel like the first time they said it was different to how they said it all the rest of the times.
Yeah, so I was watching. You know, I've been watching a lot of. You'll get to my point in a minute. I've been watching a lot of Queer Eye this week, and obviously four out of the five. Actually, no, one's Canadian. Okay, one Canadian, three Americans, I think, and one British guy. Mm. And they were taking the mix. They were like, oh, all the like non-British people, like, oh, it's Squirrel, Squirrel, and he's like, no, it's Squirrel, and they're like, no, it's Squirrel. And then
squirrel.
Squirrel, little squirrel, but we say squirrel
yeah.
in England. So I found this funny. They kept going about the Skrulls, and I was like, the what? Skrull?
Did you say Skrulls?
I thought they were just called the Skrulls.
I thought you sounded like you were saying Skrulls, like yeah. Elder Skrulls, like little bits of thing. But then you kept saying Skrulls.
Yeah, I guess as well, being slightly from the north of England, I'd say Skrull as well, not Skrull. I'd say Skrull.
What word are you saying now?
Skrull.
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 And what do you say?
Skrull. But I'm saying they would say Skrull.
Right.
You know how Southerners say mum, but we say mum.
Yeah.
Getting into like English dialects, but anyway.
Other than Brie Larson, I've written this point as if it was a spoiler. I won't say it as a spoiler. Basically, it didn't unfold as I thought it would unfold.
No.
I mean, I think there's enough. I think it may be films like kind of Iron Man 2 where it's like it's heading down this basic, very basic storyline plot where you kind of got to save something or get something, and it's just going from A to B, but there's just lots of fighting in between. Mm. Like, you don't really, maybe like a little bit of character development, but there's nothing unexpected.
Yeah.
That comes, and I need that little bit of something to keep me going, or to come out of the cinema to be like, that was a good film. I enjoyed that.
Like, there were little bits where, like, immediately you're like, oh. But obviously, I could hear the kids, like, near me, that I'd figured it out, like, a couple of minutes ago. And then they're like, oh, it's that guy, or, oh.
They figured it out.
Yeah, but, like, after it was revealed.
If I was 8 years old, I wouldn't have understood a word of that film, or any of it. I barely understood The Lion King of that part. And even you were talking about The Circle of Life the other day, and it only just clicked.
You said something about, I don't know what you said.
like a die, like when, if you're buried or, no, that was it. I'm talking about how you can die now, and instead of like burying you in a grave or cremating you can basically be turned into like fertilizer, and then you plant a seed and then the tree grows and you become that tree.
And then I said, when we die, our bodies become the grass, and then the antelope eat the grass. And you were like, what? What is that?
I finally understand it.
Because you die and then you become part of nature and then other things eat you. So the lions eat the antelope, but then eventually the antelope eat the lions as they decompose. The circle of life.
And that's our review on Captain Marvel. So I've got another thing here, which is maybe a little bit of a... I've maybe put in the problems bit, but we don't have problems. Mm. Is when the... She was asking... Oh, how do I, no, this
is why, this is why I was like, this is going to be hard to do a not spoilery bit.
I think we've got some good points. Like, I think if you're on the fence about this film now, I think you've got a good idea of the tone, and it's like, if it's fun or good, or if the storyline's going to be boring, where it's set. Well, it's set in many... actually, final point, I've got sci-fi setting, but then with the past kind of nostalgia setting.
Yeah, so it's split nice between, to have that kind of retro and that futuristic stuff.
Sorry, go on.
I
thought the fight scene at the beginning, the opening, like 10, 15 minutes, some of the best like effects and fighting that I've seen in a Marvel film. I really like, I know.
What, was she fighting Jude Law?
Just like, no, not that. But it was just like regular fighting. No, when they're on the planet and they've got all the like laser guns and...
Oh yeah, that was good.
Really, like, I think it'd be one of those that when you sat in the cinema, you're like, how's this film going to turn out? Is it going to be good? What's it going to be about? I don't understand this bit yet. When we get it on Blu-ray and we watch it, you'll appreciate that a bit more.
Yeah.
But just generally, like, the colours, the tone, like the kind of like suits and stuff that the squad's wearing.
Yeah, I like her costume.
The type of enemy, like the bit where he's like sniping down the sights, and because the whole like enemy like ability is like shape shifting as well. There's like there's bits where you don't know who to trust.
I don't know if I like the look of the Skrull.
They're a bit Star Trek-y, aren't
they? I was going to say they look like something out of Star Trek. Like,
I think I almost wanted like, you know, I could watch a series with those five guys going in doing missions and stuff. I think it would be cool. Just really like the suits. It's like Power Rangers.
Yeah, but they're all the same colour. Would you want them like different colours?
No. Okay. They're like Starship Troopers. So I think they're all in like sort of Spartan suits.
Okay.
That's all I've got on that. So is there anything that you've got?
I don't want to get into a whole thing about it. And I ran out of time to sort of properly read stuff about it before we started recording, but I know there was all this stuff about people just leaving like rubbish reviews about it being like a lead female, and then I think this stuff you said around Shazam coming out and that being Captain Marvel and kind of pitting them against each other, where it's just two superhero films. I think Zachary Levi even like tweeted something about people, you need to calm down because people are just giving this film a load of rubbish. But then it's still, I think, it's been like a massive box office success. So people just have this sort of, I don't know, this pre-judgment for it. It's like, just go watch it. It's fun.
People are really like angry sort of white male nerds are just trying to rally against stuff sometimes. I just mean like the people who are doing it.
But are they people... This is the thing I need to check, because I might be saying some rubbish. Are these people that, like, are these comic book fans or are these just people that hate women? Because if you're a comic book fan, there's plenty of comic books where you've got like female superheroes.
I think it's generally when there's just something to like hate on the internet. Probably like 1% of it is like people who are actually fighting against it. And then 99% is just people like to get on board with like whatever the hatred. I remember all the stuff with Star Wars Episode 8 and they were like hating on all the women and they'd made like cuts of the film that didn't have any women in it.
What?
Yeah, like fans had like, well, I say fans, but like people had gone in and cut the film to be like, this is the like, non-female version.
The woman that played Rose, people gave her such an amount of grief for what? It's like, it's absolutely pathetic. Like, should be ashamed.
Well,
she's just like withdrawn from like social media because people were just horrible to her.
I mean, I don't think they should have done that, but I think everyone should withdraw from social media. I don't like it.
No, it is all...
You shouldn't have to do that.
No, but so I'm still a bit of I'm a hypocrite. I do look, you know, I look on my social media things, but I don't post a lot anymore because it is all just like, oh, look at me, I'm doing this thing. And it's all just shallow and vain. It can be used for good things. It can spread positive things and information and stuff. But a lot of people, it's just like, look at this thing I'm doing in my life. And, you know, 500 people will follow you, but only like a small portion of those people are actually like care.
I think a lot of the times people have this like, they're hidden, aren't they? They can anonymously sort of hate on people that they wouldn't in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
They wouldn't go up to Rose and say anything in real life.
No, if you wouldn't say it to someone in real life, don't put it on the internet.
I agree.
You're cowardly.
Anything else about Captain Marvel?
Sorry, just go watch it. Just like, don't. It's fun.
Yeah.
There's a cute cat in it.
There was. The cat was the best bit. I have some. I
really like the cat.
I pasted some trivia.
Oh.
For the end, ooh. And it's all about the cat.
Excellent.
Okay. Yep. So we move into spoiler territory.
Da-da-da. Yes, because I have more to say on that. My main note was about Skrulls sounding like squirrel.
I prepared a lot of the non-spoiler stuff,
so I'm
hoping that you've got some. Can I before I forget? Can I bring up the two points that I wanted to make before?
Of course.
So one of them was it going to be in the problems. That was the bit where she's changing her colours of her suit, and the kid, and she's like, "Kid, can you? You've got a fashion sense. Can you change my outfit?"
Yeah, and she just immediately knew how to use that weird futuristic panel on her wrist. This is a bit cringe.
You put your finger over like loads of hexes and it like somehow manipulates all the colours on the suit and like different ones.
Yeah, and they all match. She wasn't like picking, you know, like a bright pink and like a bright turquoise or colours that might look a bit mad together. Like they all look good. And yeah, she's just like prodding it and then like, a bit cringe.
If she was like prodding in random directions and it was just colouring her suit, which it was for most of it, I'm fine with that. It was just at the end where she was like, how about we go with, I can't remember what she said, it pointed to her t-shirt and she was like, let's go with like basically the sort of Union Jack American colour. What?
The Union Jack is British.
Yeah, so? Same
red, colours. Red, white, and blue, but there was like gold
same
in
colours.
There.
We all
I know,
the
but the
place.
American flag is not the Union Jack.
I didn't say American flag. I said Union Jack. She goes for colours of the Union Jack, doesn't she? Doesn't she?
I think it was after the US. I don't think she did it in homage to the
you've
Union
got no
Jack.
Proof for that.
I do because like the T-shirt the girl was wearing says something about like the US Air Force on it.
Yeah. Anyway, so what I mean, I'm not saying that they'd spend like half an hour doing a tutorial where this girl learns how to like press buttons, but if just at the end the girl went, I want it like this, and then maybe if Captain Marvel just then okay and then press the buttons,
yeah,
that would make more sense.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was a small thing. I was like, oh, this is cheesy.
And then there was one other thing. Because I'd written twist dash bad guys and Krennic. I was trying to say I was glad the story didn't unfold in that way.
Yeah, I've written that because
it had, like, had a nice twist.
Yeah, because when we saw the actor's Ben Mendelsohn, like So I immediately recognised his voice because I think the first time you see him, he's in his Skrull makeup. And I just recognised his voice and I was like...
Krennic.
I just went to you, I was like, Krennic. And I was like I really, like, we've seen him as, like, Krennic in Rogue One and I can't remember the guy's name in Ready Player One.
Yeah, I feel like I should know that.
Yeah.
He plays that kind of like...
Like a villain. And he's really good, but yeah. I was like, he's a villain again? I was like...
I think we should have a 3 episodes in a row where we just do films with him in it. If we do Ready Player One next.
Well, we can't.
Ah, oh, crap. What did we say we were doing? Space Jam. He's probably in that. It's
fine. So, yeah, I liked that because I was like, oh, okay. He's good, but okay, he's a villain again. And then he actually wasn't. And I was like, yay, he's a nice guy. I mean, a bit complicated because obviously he said something about, you know, my hands have been dirty by this war as well. Like he's had to do some bad things. It's a war. Like there's often like bad things on both sides, but he's a sympathetic character in the end, which I liked.
Like, almost felt like audience manipulation, like smoke and mirrors, like bait and switch with not the fact that the way the plot was going, but also you know that this character is always cast as bad guys.
Yeah.
Right? And they've used that to kind of, again, plant in your mind that it's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And like, you can't do that in many situations because people obviously play different characters all the time. But it's like, I don't know, it'd be like using, like Sean Bean showing up on screen and you're like, well, he's going to die. And then suddenly they just switch and he doesn't die.
Because as well, the first time you hear him, I think when he's a Skrull, he's got his own, because in Ready Player One and Rogue One, he's got an American accent.
Yeah.
But I think he's not actually, I don't know where he's from. But when he's a Skrull, he hasn't got an American accent.
Oh yeah, he's Australian, isn't he?
He's Australian. So you hear him with his Australian accent. But then he shapeshifts into someone that looks like who he is in real life, I guess. So, but because even though he had his Australian accent, I just recognised his voice. But maybe not everyone would have. And then when they saw him...
Sorrento, he's called in Ready Player One.
Thank you.
I just had to look that up.
Yeah. So when you see him sort of as what he actually looks like, I was like, oh, that's a Skrull, because I knew it was Krennic.
Yeah.
I was like, it's that guy. So... I think that was a bit I figured out. And at that point, I still thought he was a bad guy.
I wonder if many people picked that up.
Yeah, because even though he had an Australian accent, I just knew it was him.
Because you could tell his voice.
Yeah.
I kind of like stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know whether they meant to do that.
No.
It's like, if you know this thing, here's a little something for you. No, but for most people watching it who don't.
Because I wonder why, as a Skrull, they were like, you can be Australian. But when you're a human... Well, I guess he was a human in America, so it made sense for him to have an American accent.
Yeah.
But when he was a Skrull, he was allowed to have an Australian accent. I wonder why. Well, it's like, I guess in space things, it doesn't matter. Like in Star Wars, Rey, Daisy Ridley, keeps her English accent. But... John Boyega has an American accent, even though he's from London.
Maybe he just did it and they were like, that's terrible. Well, no, he's like, but this is my voice. And he's like, no, do something else.
Sure, he made some joke on like a chat show interview thing about, I think he did try it. And
yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, and it was funny.
It'd be like weird, sort of like two people doing English accents to each other all would be
Yeah,
really
but then
odd,
Daisy Ridley being English, I'm just like, yeah. But everyone, like, a lot of the others are American.
Yeah.
It's obviously all like Luke, Han, Leia, all American accents.
Here we get back onto...
Sorry, yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, the third thing I bit my tongue on saying, is that the interrogation scene where they first get her and they pin her upside down and they're like going into her mind and they're like fast forwarding, going backwards and forwards. Yeah, yeah. And like, not that bit. It really reminded me of... the Rick and Morty episode where they want to basically find out the secrets to the same thing with like time and space travel. And they're trying to go through them, like Rick's memories, to watch the moment where they witness the invention. It's the one where they first introduce that like Mulan source. At the end of...
Mushu. No.
Like Szechuan...
Yeah, you said Mulan, I've said Mushu.
Isn't he
who
the
is
dragon?
A carrot, yeah.
Right. It's basically he gets... He gets locked away by them.
Yeah. The only episode of Rick and Morty I remember is the one with the dog.
You've seen them all, though.
I know, but I've seen the dog one like three times.
Anyway, I guess I watched them all like twice at least.
Yeah,
reminded me of that.
I like that bit.
You said you didn't remember it. Oh, you mean in the film?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's me. I'm not going to interrupt you anymore. Should we start out with the beginning and kind of maybe not go through it bit by bit, but just generally summarize bits of it? Like, part by bit.
But do we need to? If people listening to this have probably seen it.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, what have you...
What have you
got that's spoilery?
Well, I was just reading stuff quickly after, like, you can kind of draw parallels between her and Peter Quill from, like, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Because they're both kind of part human, part alien, and both sort of taken from Earth.
Mm.
So she was human. She's obviously there. You find out her kind of superior is actually like a Kree agent on Earth who's inventing this engine to travel at light speed or whatever. And then she tries to destroy the engine. She then like absorbs all the energy, which you later find out is kind of, it's like Tesseract energy.
Yeah.
And then Jude Law's like, well, what did I say it was called?
I don't know, like Bob.
Lonrog.
Lonrod.
Longrod.
Bob.
Yonrog.
Yeah. Keep it together.
Yeah, he takes her and like puts his blood in her. And then she's like part Kree. Because she's got all like blue blood, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool. And obviously Peter Quill's like, half human, half god, isn't he?
Yeah, I forgot about that. I was just thinking he's just like... Like, she got all these powers and he got pretty much, like, some guns and goggles.
No, his dad's a god.
But can he do anything?
I don't remember. I'll have to rewatch them. Because I think a lot of the films of the MCU, like, I was reading about, I'll get onto it, about Ronan the Accuser. And I read, like, the whole plot for Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think I've seen once, the first one. And I was like, I just don't remember this. There's just two... I know you started a while ago trying to rewatch them all. But, yeah, it's, like, 20 films.
Yeah. You did one a week, that's nearly, like, half a year.
Yeah. It's a lot. What was my point? So yeah, she's taken and then she's kind of half human, half Kree, which I like. And then obviously you find out later on, because they basically treat her like she's got this power and she like gets too emotional and she can't control it. And she's got this thing on her neck and they kind of make out that they've given her those powers.
Mm.
So she doesn't remember the crash and absorbing like the Tesseract power.
Yeah,
she doesn't remember any of that. And then obviously later in the film, she kind of figures out, she says something about, I've been fighting with one hand tied behind my back this whole time.
Mm.
And she's actually super duper powerful and can just like on all of them.
So what do you think she's going to do in Avengers that's so good? You know, like why is Nick Fury, like you said, he's never called her up until now. She did say like emergencies only.
There's been a few emergencies.
Yeah, but he's got loads of people.
But I still don't get in like in every film that isn't an Avengers film, why are they never calling up the other Avengers?
Yeah, in
you know, Spider-Man's fighting the Vulture, be a lot easier if like just like a couple of others were there.
Mm,
so like three of them fighting.
She might have really, really like big things going on. Just like finding planets and stuff, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she's off to end the war, isn't she?
Which war? Endgame?
Between the Kree and the Skrulls.
Yeah, I mean, but that's set ages ago.
The
end of that is like 1996.
Yeah, well, it's clearly taken her a while.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How hard can it be to end one war? With superpowers that can just like blow up star destroyers?
Well, I think she's not... I don't know if she's necessarily trying to just go and blow up one side. I don't know if she's trying to find some kind of more.
She's there doing all the paperwork.
I don't know. I don't know. What she's going to do? She gonna
hold,
try
like, charity
some
events,
diplomacy, or yeah, is she just going to like nuke some people?
We don't know enough about their like civil structures to like know how to end any of it, do we? You might have some really nasty leader and take him out, and it'll be sorted. That's what happens in most films.
Mm.
But maybe not in space.
But, like, Thor couldn't defeat Thanos. Is she going to be able to?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Thor got him with the axe. If he just chopped off his arm or his head.
Mm.
Why the chest? I'm sure Thanos says, like, you should have aimed for something else. The neck.
I guess, like, maybe she's not the answer, but it's like all he's got as he's fading away. Isn't it? It's like
that's well, he's his... like, oh, well, I'm dying. If I'm going to call her, it's now because I'm dead.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a go.
And what is she going to do? We don't know. She turns up.
She's got longer, blonder, straighter hair.
Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there is the, like, two post-credit scenes, right? What the first one was, like, straight after the, like, animated bit.
Yeah, like the end credits.
The nicer credits, though. Yeah. What's that called? You got, like, boring credits, and then you, like, before that.
The bit before.
You got, like, fun credits.
Where there's, like, an animation and stuff. Yeah.
After the fun credits.
Yeah, so you see, like, the Avengers that are left. So you see Captain America, Black Widow, Hulk.
The main dudes. The ones that are alive.
The one, Iron Man's mate, what's it called?
Something about a bird.
No, not Captain America's mate.
Oh, War Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy. The guy who got replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between Iron Man and Iron Man 2, yep.
So we do know some stuff. I know we didn't know his name.
Just forget this. There's a lot of characters.
There is.
I still can't remember. Yon Rogg.
Yub-nub. Yub-nub.
What does it say? So they're there, and they've got the pager, and then they're like, oh, the pager's stopped. And then she, like, appears and says, where's Fury? And you're like, so she's like, come back. And then, yeah, at the very end of the credits, you see... So
which was ruined by a man.
A man sort of commentated, laughing. Cause
as it happened every second.
And we all knew it was going to happen. You didn't have to narrate it.
And the worst part was, he was the only, like, one in the cinema left. Because most people, believe it or not, just left at the first credits.
Yeah.
A couple, like, as the first one, like, happened and people were on the way out the door, they sort of turned around and were like, oh, there's more. And they stood there for a while.
There's been 20 of these now. They do it in every film.
And then we got to the final one with this man who was like, as the cat, there's Goose the cat.
Well, we should explain. We'll
backtrack a little bit to explain.
Goose the cat.
Well, like you say, people have seen the film.
Okay, well, that's true. Okay, so you know Goose swallowed the Tesseract.
Yeah.
He's actually, is it a firkin? And he's got all these tentacles.
I just kept hearing gherkin.
I think it's a firkin. So he's got the Tesseract, and then you sort of see him in Fury's office at the end. And he starts like coughing up, and like someone was like, "Hold me a furball," and
they're like, "Oh, it's a furball! Oh, definitely a furball! Oh, I reckon it's a furball."
And they're like, "Oh, he's coughing it up! He's coughing it up!" And we're like, "We know he's going to cough up the Tesseract. Just let the moment happen."
I guess he was being like louder because there was no one else there, so it was almost
There was us. There was at least one or two other couples still in there. There was like half a dozen of us that had stuck it out. But anyway...
But as soon as the credit opened up and the cat was there, he went, like, the cat's been in the film like the whole time.
Okay. But I wanted to come on to the Tesseract. Because they kept going on about it. And then after the film, I was like, oh, the Tesseract. So like, that's how S.H.I.E.L.D. had it. And you're like, what?
The blue cube.
And I was like, the blue cube, you know, that's like in all the films. You're like, what? The Tesseract. You're like, what?
I knew what you're talking about. I don't remember the name of everything.
It's one of the Infinity Stones.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I just call it like the blue stone.
It's the one where you can travel through time and space. Yeah. No, just space. Sorry, just space, because it's a time stone that Doctor Strange has.
Ah, so that's why she had...
Yeah, she was making a light speed engine. Yeah,
that. Where did she get it from?
Well, because I was like trying to remember, and I went to our good friend the internet.
You went deep.
It was the first result when I put in.
So the deep corners of the first result.
Yep. When I put in something like Tesseract MCU timeline,
which
or something.
Is an article on GameSpot, it looks like.
GameSpot, yes. Right, so the first time we see
it... You're going to read out the GameSpot article.
No, I'm not going to read out the whole thing. I'm going to summarise, so sorry if I stutter a bit. So the first time you see it is in Asgard.
Asgard.
So originally, what's he called? Odin.
Yeah.
Has got it in his treasure room.
Throne room. Oh, in the treasure room, yeah.
Yeah. And it does say here, it's unclear how it wound up in Asgard to begin with, or how it travelled to Earth.
So, because I watched that one recently, and I remember, it's just like one of his treasures.
Yeah, he just has it.
Yeah.
So you have it, and then during the Second World War, which is Captain America, the first Avenger, it's what Red Skull and Steve Rogers fight over.
Mm.
And at that point, you kind of don't know it's an Infinity Stone. It's just this thing they're fighting over.
I thought that when watching it back.
And then it ends up with Captain in the ocean at the end of the film.
Mm.
So that's where it ends up.
Well, when he flies his ship in.
Yeah, and he's like stuck under there for many decades.
Yeah, in the ice. Yep.
Yep. And that's when Red Skull, he ends up being transported to where the Soul Stone is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the guarder of the Soul Stone. You see him in Infinity War.
So okay. At the moment, it sounds like it just came from Odin.
So it was in Asgard, and then somehow it ended up on Earth, and then it's in the first Avenger.
How did it get... Why was it in Asgard?
It doesn't... I just said... It says in the article... that I mean, there probably is an answer, but on this first result I found, it's not clear how it was in Asgard or how it ended up on Earth.
Maybe it's all a loop, and maybe at the end of this, it's going to end up in the past,
maybe.
Back in Asgard.
Maybe.
That, my prediction, right there, you heard it first.
Oh, okay. Right, so it's in the sea. And then basically, But then it got to S.H.I.E.L.D. Wait a minute.
Well, is that going
to
be...
So it goes... The movie...
This is great
It says, first Avenger ended up with Cap crashing his plane into the ocean with the Tesseract on board.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says the Tesseract made its way to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, because they retrieved
when Howard
him.
Starts... Yeah, but not until, like, 2010.
Yeah. That's fine, isn't
but
it?
But Howard Stark is dead by then.
Well, one of the Starks got it.
So basically it's then with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And then you get to the 1990s, and then it's on this Project Pegasus thing, which is what it refers to in Captain Marvel... And I've forgotten her name. Annette Bening's character, Mar-Vell, is her Kree name. She's using it to try and make this engine. And then, obviously, you see at the end of Captain Marvel.
Wait, how did it get to her?
Well, Pegasus is kind of part of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think. It's like a government thing.
Okay.
So it's with S.H.I.E.L.D., and then it's with the Pegasus thing. And then, obviously, Goose has it. He chucks it up. And then... They have it.
Goose.
Yeah, so it's got a trip through a flurkin. Oh, flurkin, not firkin, sorry. Flurkin.
Flurkin for a gherkin.
Yeah. And then I think you next see it in Avengers Assemble, because I think S.H.I.E.L.D. have it all that time, and the guy that's in Thor, he's played by Stellan Skarsgård, I can't remember his character's name, he's like a professor, he's like studying it.
He's like a little Igor creature, man.
No.
No?
He's quite tall.
Hmm. Not him then, keep going.
Okay. Dr. Eric Selvig, there we go, it tells me in here. So he's looking at it, and then Loki comes and steals it, and that's when he opens the portal in Avengers Assemble. And then at the end of Avengers Assemble, they take it back, Thor and Loki take it back to Asgard, stick it in there.
Yeah.
Loki nicks it again.
Bloody Loki. Does that happen in, like, Dark World, the one that we haven't
maybe
seen?
Maybe.
You need to watch this Dark World, don't we?
Yeah. And then obviously, in the opening of Infinity War, Thanos takes it from Loki, kills Loki. And that is where it's ended up.
Mm. So it's Loki's fault?
A lot of the stuff is Loki's fault.
Why do they keep him around? I don't understand the relationship between him and Thor. It's, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be very clear. Like, he's a bad guy? Is he not a bad guy? Does Thor know he's a bad guy? Is he bothered?
Yeah, well, there's not always a lot of trust between them, but he goes between... He kind of redeems himself sometimes, but then he's always a bit mischievous always kind of looking out for himself.
It feels like he's just like his brother's... One of those problems in the family that people have just sort of become to, like joke around with. Mm. He does it in Ragnarok, where he's just like, oh... low-key, knew you were going to do that, so predictable type of thing.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know, you've got someone in the family who's got, I'm trying to think of a problem that isn't like really offensive. You know,
he's a bit of a troublemaker, isn't he?
Like,
to put it lightly.
I don't know, if you've got like an elderly family who's like pulling their teeth out or something.
What?
You know, like in cartoons where they take their teeth out
and
they like put it in a glass.
Yeah.
And like, it's gross, but everyone's just like, ah, it's just Nan, that's what she does.
Well, it's not Nan's fault she's lost all her teeth. She's old.
It's not Loki's
fault.
It's
so offensive.
It's not Loki's fault.
It's so offensive.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it's part of the family and you just deal with it. Anyway, can we go back to the post-credit scene that we were trying to talk about?
Yeah, so
that
Goose.
That bit ends up with Goose. Goose is eating the
Tesseract
cube and he like burps it up.
Yep.
And there you go. That's how you know it gets a shield.
Yep.
So it's quite nice. There is this timeline out that you just read out, but you actually had to think of that yourself and dot around where the films take place in order. That's quite tricky to do so, isn't it?
Thank you for this person for doing that for me.
Who is it?
Someone at GameSpot.
I don't think those 8-year-old kids are going to know all this, are
Michael
they?
Rougeau.
Don't know that one. Continue.
It's MCU's Tesseract timeline, how the Space Stone went from Captain Marvel to Avengers Infinity War. And that was very helpful.
So, it is, I guess the bit that we missed out is like what happens after that spoilery territory stuff. So you kind of got like, she's looking for her memories of like what happened, and she goes back to the 90s and those guys are hunting after her. And she thinks it's because they're looking for the secret to like space light travel. In her brain, but she can't even access her memories, can she? Like, she doesn't even know.
No, she's figuring out the coordinates, though, for the lab.
Yeah, but she doesn't know whose lab or what it is.
Well, maybe at that point, I don't know, she's like pieced it together.
Just to kind of bring back to the origin bit, so I thought it did a really good job of, like, it kind of, like, pulled the origin piece, like, into the middle towards the end by having her not know about her own origin story. Mm. So she's like, she's finding out what the origin is, and we find out what the origin is, rather than all of us having to go through the origin and getting bored. I thought that was really cool, because it's just like a different take of doing an origin story. Yeah?
I would agree. I liked the sequence of it and the pacing.
Yeah, I like that in lots of films.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thought it was well-paced.
I think it was a good blueprint for what Marvel films can be as well. Like, it's not too comedy, and it's not too boring superhero action sequences.
Yeah, like really sort of gritty and serious. And
yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favourite scene? And what was your least favourite scene? Do you want me to go if you can't go?
Yeah, you go while I think. Or I'll just go whatever you say. I'll go, yeah, I agree.
Well, I already did a lot of mine.
Mm.
I said, like, the actual effects and the fighting and stuff. It was generally, I think they did her powers as well, like, really nicely. Like, she didn't have them throughout the film, which is good, but she also wasn't powerless. The film, like, do you remember the first Thor where he loses his hammer and he gets chucked down to earth and he's just like 80% of it is like a stealth heist film where he's like, I've got to get in to get the hammer back.
But then I also thought that was a good basis for character development, because like eventually by like, I think it takes him to like Thor Ragnarok, he realizes he can do a lot of stuff without his hammer.
He could have done it all then, couldn't he?
Yeah, but he had to go through that journey to sort of find that power within.
Also, I think he got banished as a mortal, so he couldn't have done all that stuff.
He still had his... Did he have his strength?
His what?
His, like, super strength?
No, I don't think so. Maybe?
I don't remember.
Don't know.
I mean, he was, like, throwing beer at the floor, but I guess I could throw beer at the floor.
I mean, he still got his big muscles, even if he didn't have any power.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? I liked it when... she comes back, she goes up, takes out like a load of fancy Kree missiles and ships, just sort of blasts through it like no problemo, and then comes back down to face Yon-Rogg. And he's all like, this is it. Like, you know, don't let your emotions get in the way. Fight me, just you and me, and like, see if you can beat me. And she's just like, blasts him. And she's like, I've got nothing to prove to you. Because he's like lied to her, he's manipulated her, and now he's like, oh yeah, let's fight like one-to-one, like equal. But like, she's just like, nah.
Yeah.
She's sort of badass.
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't like, I feel like a lot of films could have had that very same setup and then actually seriously acted it out.
Yeah, because part of, at that point I was like, we're going to have another fight. I think by then I was like, I've seen enough.
Just enough.
Fighting now, I'm like, oh, now I've got to watch them have a fist fight. And look, like Captain Marvel was having the same idea I was, and she was just like, no, I can't be bothered. She was just done. And I was like, yeah, cool, I'm done.
It was like a bit like she flew up and basically murdered like thousands of people on the ships, and then she was like, now we're gonna fly down to fight this one man. I was a
but
bit
he's like,
her
antagonist. He was like her. He was like her mentor,
I guess. Well,
he's lied to her.
Because she could have just flown back into orbit, probably spotted him from like millions of miles above, shot a beam at him and just took him out.
Yeah, well, she didn't want to kill him. She sent it back to him. What's it
oh,
called?
Oh, yeah, we know.
Hala.
I mean, after that, those series of events took place, so you know she wanted to send a message back.
Yeah, because like, he was like almost a father figure to her.
I don't know. I thought they were like hitting it hard.
No.
He's like, oh, I couldn't sleep. I'm coming and knocking on your door. No. He's like, what are you dreaming of, me?
I did it.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't...
I know, okay.
She didn't have either, so maybe he was both. I don't know. And I am just, like, reading between the lines.
Well,
probably
okay.
Not true.
Well, he was an influential figure in her life because she arrived and, like, his blood literally, like, flows through her veins. So he did kind of birth her in a way. He kind of created her. In a way, so sort of see him as a father figure, and then he's just like misled her this whole time.
Do you think it would have been nice if she got all her memories back, and then she could have been best friends with that lady, best friend?
Well, I think she had flashes of it back, and I think maybe not all the specific memories, but I think she kind of got a sense again of who she was, and like she remembered things like she called the little girl, which called her like. Captain Trouble, Lieutenant Trouble or something.
Right.
And she was like, you remembered. And that was cute. So I think there's like bits of it there. It's just not all like how I would remember 6 years ago. But I think there's a sense if she knows that they were close.
Yeah.
Like it's not like... I shouldn't say. I'm watching a popular show at the moment with an amnesiac in it. That's very different. Like the vibe is not there. Like it is here.
I think finally, because we're about out of time now, how important do you think this is to the rest of the Avengers films? Like, do you think this is going to be one where you have to have seen it? Because there's a lot in there. Like, we say, well, Dark World, but now we just realise probably should watch it. There's some that you like, if you want to follow this particular story, you can watch these films and you'll, like, have everything. We know... she's going to turn up, and you kind of just need to know, I reckon in the Avengers film, that she's just going to be powerful.
Because you already know at the end of Infinity War that she's coming.
And it's in a weird place as well, because Infinity War ended on such a, like, almost like splitting a film in half.
Mm.
And then suddenly you've got kind of backtracking a lot.
Mm.
There'll be those weird like Star Wars machete order things that people make where you watch them in certain order. I think there'll be like watch it in this order where the time is consistent.
Mm.
And this will be quite an early one because it's like, you know, 90 something, 96. This will be one of the earliest ones. Probably like the first Captain America and then this in that order.
Yes.
I think just, yeah, what's odd is going to be, like, what she'd been doing between all that time.
Yeah.
And like, in 20 years from now, when people watch these, do you think they'll watch it? Like, who's going to watch Infinity War, then watch this, then watch Endgame? Do you think they will? Obviously, we haven't seen any games, it's hard to say.
Yeah, like when we watch them back, yeah, would we watch them in a kind of timeline-y order?
Yeah.
Rather than at the moment, because, yeah, obviously this is set like in the 90s. This is like before.
If you, I don't know, were showing someone Star Wars and you go, right, this is 7, 8, 9, would you go, okay, well, we're going to watch episode 8 and then we're going to watch Solo and then we're going to watch episode 9? I mean, obviously a bit different because...
Yeah, that's different.
I mean, it's still a cinematic universe.
Yeah.
But this is like, especially if like Solo, Han Solo is in number 9, you'd be like, this is essentially the same thing because it is one of the main characters from 789, but this is him in his past. And this is the same with Marvel. Do you need to go back and see like who this person is in their youth?
No, I don't think you need to for Captain Marvel. I think it adds like nice, just little nuggets of context, like with the Tesseract. And I like seeing an early version of Nick Fury and seeing a kind of younger, more, I don't know what the adjective is. But just kind of more youthful, I guess. Not that he's all kind of like really stern and old and like battered in like the other films, but he's just a bit more, you know, you're just younger and you just got a bit more energy, a bit more ideals, maybe. You're a bit less hardened by the world, so he's just a bit more.
Can you imagine like that? If Samuel Jackson, like the next film he was in, if it even wasn't like Avengers, but appeared like he did in this film?
But that's the thing, now they've got that technology.
Like, imagine if we never saw Samuel L. Jackson again as he actually looks now, but he just kept appearing in films at that age and then just like gradually aged up in. Like
it's a big question because obviously there's some parts where people are like, oh, we can't give it to that person because they're a bit older than we wanted this character. But now you just shove some effects on their face and they're like 20 years younger. So it's an interesting question about.
Wait, I mean,
that is like a whole topic.
What, like, I don't know how they've done it, but what if it's not actually like using Samuel L. Jackson's base face and appearance? What if you could play mocap over someone's body? Say they just acted in like a green suit with little balls on it, and you could apply any like actor over the top of that. Imagine that.
Well, that's what they've done in like Rogue One, isn't it? With Peter Cushing.
Yeah, in a way, but it doesn't look that good. Like, it doesn't look as good as this, does it?
No, but this is like Samuel L. Jackson playing Samuel L. Jackson.
I mean, it's been a few years, maybe. Like, and it's always the case in film that like one special effects studio's got the technology that someone else hasn't.
I think I even said it on last week's episode that the Peter Cushing thing, it is pretty good, but you can tell a bit. But I said, but I've heard the Samuel L. Jackson thing in Captain Marvel. And now we've seen it.
And was it good?
Last week, yes.
That's why we did it this week, because of that link, wasn't it?
Yep. All about that continuity.
Why don't you could just play like, I don't know, today I'm going to be Jude Law, but it's just like played by someone else.
This is why it's a big, because then, what was that? I think I was listening to, maybe it was the Empire Film podcast, and they were talking about, you know, it's this big thing because now you do this, can you start, you know, like with Peter Cushing, actors that are dead, start putting them in films, like you can start putting like Audrey Hepburn in a film and stuff.
That's a bit different because these people are dead.
Yeah, but you've got this kind of technology now, but then it becomes sort of maybe a bit more of like an ethical question, and it's like, it's interesting.
I think actors will, in their contract for like the next film they do, have to sign something that says like, this studio can use your visual appearance for this character for the next 200 years.
And there is, they mention it on the Empire Film podcast as well, but it is a film I'd heard of, but I've not seen, called like The Congress, and it's got Robin Wright in it, and it is this thing, she's kind of like sold her image to a film studio, and then they can kind of use that.
Oh, I could.
They kind of like scan her and then they just put her in films.
Could you imagine if like the next Dark Knight comes out and like the Joker's in it and it's Heath Ledger?
Well, they're getting to a point where like that is possible. So it's interesting. I did have more things to say though. I know you said we're running out of time.
We're running out of time, yeah. Jeez, be quick.
Oh my God.
I wanted
to just mention, you said about kind of bits of like characters appearing in multiple things. So I wanted to mention Korath the Pursuer. I'll just show you the picture, so because you might not know the names of this guy.
Right, yep, him.
Played by, Jimon Hon... Hunso. I'm sorry, I'm probably saying that wrong.
He's one of the like five kind of.
Yeah, he's in like the Kree with Yon-Rogg, and he's also in Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's just that is the same character. And also wanted to mention Ronan the Accuser, because like, I recognise the character, like he's in a little bit in Captain Marvel. I think he was supposed to be in more, but they cut it. And then I thought he was in more films, and I was just looking at it before we started recording. He's only actually in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
As like the main villain
the
in
guy
that.
With a big axe.
Yeah.
Sort of like a scythe.
Yeah. Because he's basically, I think he's supposed to get the orb for Thanos, because he wants to kill some other race that I've forgotten the name of.
Oh, I see.
And then he like portrays Thanos. He wants to go destroy them himself rather than giving it to Thanos for Thanos to do it. But then this orb, I think, is actually one of the Infinity Stones.
If Thanos is around at that time, is he trying to still find the stones at that point? Or is he just...
I can't... Which film did they sort of say that was his long-term plan? I can't remember.
Well, we will inform you next week.
You
find
see
out
him,
the answer.
You see him, I think, in the end credit scene of Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
But he looks a lot different.
Yeah.
Because I think they changed his character design a bit from when he actually appeared properly in Infinity War.
I bet they settled that a long time ago, didn't they?
Well, yeah, that was 2012.
Yeah.
That film. Yeah, so I think once by the time you see Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy, he's Kree, but he's like a real like radical, like extremist Kree. And I think seeing him in Captain Marvel, it's kind of before he's that. He's still kind of, I guess, a bit extreme because they come in and he was just going to like blow up Earth. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting. So like you said, I'm not sure you have to see this for other films for like Endgame to make sense.
Yeah.
But just sort of going back, because it's set before a lot of the other films we've seen, it just adds in these little extra bits of context and just kind of nicely links things.
I think if you've got the time and you've got like, I don't know, a CEX near your house and you can buy them.
Yeah.
Or rent them for like £3. Mm-hmm. Or a mate. Or get Netflix or that new Disney streaming
service. When's that going live? I don't know.
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then watch them all.
Disney are like literally taking over the world though. They've bought everything.
Okay, now just before we go, I have got some trivia. It's all about Goose the Cat. Yeah, so you ready? First one. Goose is played by four different very professional cat actors named Reggie, Rizzo, Gonzo, and Archie.
Oh, how do they get these cats that all look exactly the same? Because I know usually like stuff like this, it's not the same animal.
Yeah,
but you never notice.
Or baby when they do babies, is it?
Yeah.
Number two, Brie Larson is allergic to cats,
so
her scenes involving Goose were filmed with a puppet or computer generated.
Oh dear.
Effects.
Oh dear.
Because there was a lot of ways like holding them off and it was CGI.
Yeah, you could tell sometimes. I couldn't tell with Samuel L. Jackson, but I could tell Goose wasn't always cat.
Okay, number three. In the comics, Captain Marvel's cat is named Chewie after Chewbacca from Star Wars. In the film, it was named Goose after Goose Bradshaw from Top Gun.
Oh, I wondered if it was Goose from Top Gun.
Yeah, makes sense. And then I just put a bonus one on that wasn't about cats because I thought... the film was the first from Marvel... MCU, not Marvel MCU, from the MCU to have a female lead, and it was released at the cinema on International Women's Day.
Yes.
Yeah, you knew that one.
Yes.
Okay. And that's all we have time for, folks, on Captain Marvel. Forgot the name of the film then.
So I forgot the name of the podcast.
Now we move into the outro. Thank you so much for listening. That wraps up our Captain Marvel special.
Yay!
We will be back next week with our regular format. I just can't find a time to get drunk enough to watch West Side Story.
I know you're going to hate it.
And I know you're going to love Space Jam.
I think I'm going to tolerate Space Jam.
So you can always support us on Patreon at patreon.com/goodvibesfilmclub. And get the my Twitter, if you would like to follow me on Twitter. I don't have many followers, so start a revolution, a movement, and then I'll start actually putting tweets on. And then you can also send us an email to fanmail@goodvibesfilmclub.com, and you can leave us a review on iTunes, where you can also tell your friends, tell your family, and tell your kids that you take to the cinema to watch Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
So next week we will be doing... So you look like you're going to say something.
Just popcorn at the cinema. It's a weird snack. It's so wild.
So are crisps. Big bags of crisps.
Just don't think you should eat. I very rarely... Actually, no, the last time I went to the cinema before this, I snuck in a Zinger meal from KFC, actually. So
right, I'll be quiet. Let's do a snack cinema special maybe another time.
Snack rant.
So it will be West Side Story and Space Jam for next week. So give them a watch. And until next time, we'll see you.
Someone's review, they put half a star and just put didn't like it. That's not a constructive review.